Hey, welcome to episode 360 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I've never vomited on a single country's prime minister, but it's on my bucket list. Today, Fantastic Four, 360 from January 1992, At the Mercy of Dreadface by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. The issue begins with a caption that says, "Introducing a sinister, deadly new foe for the world's greatest team." Now, I've read this entire issue. I don't see a sinister, deadly new foe. All I see is Dreadface. So the FF are finally returning to Earth after their space adventures the last couple of issues, and they have this huge spaceship they took from Devos to Devastator, and they've crash-landed on this deserted island in the South Sea, which is a little vague. South Pacific, I assume, but maybe not. It's a tropical island, that's for sure. They wanted to land in a place where they wouldn't crush anyone. Like I said, it's a pretty big ship. Reed stretches up and looks around, and he tells Johnny to go check out something in the north part of the island. There's some kind of metal reflecting sunlight, which Reed saw. And when Johnny gets out there, it's an old plane wreck, and the plane says, "Flying Barnetti and Bailey Circus," or something like that. And the people inside seem long dead. Alicia, gotta get used to that. Alicia is standing there waiting for the FF to unload their own ship from the belly of the bigger spaceship, when suddenly a big cheetah tries to attack her. But Sue puts up a force field just in time. Alicia is still wearing that tight one-piece bathing suit. Maybe that was Tom and Paul's big idea for bringing Alicia back. They're going to sex her up. Kind of like what they'll be doing later on in their run with Sue. Reed, who is apparently some kind of expert on cheetahs, recognizes this as some kind of variant cheetah, like a mutant cheetah. From behind the FF, this big black blob thing comes slithering out of the ship and off into the jungle. Reed tells everyone that the ship can't carry five people, so Ben and someone else will have to stay behind until Reed can return with a pogo plane. Alicia volunteers, saying that it will give her and Ben a chance to get reacquainted, and Johnny says, "What?" He's having a hard time adjusting to the fact that Alicia isn't his wife. He says it's too dangerous for her to stay behind, which is a pretty good argument, and Ben agrees. Instead, Johnny stays with Ben, and the two women fly off with Reed. And Reed says, "We'll be back by morning. What could go wrong?" And so there in the jungle is this big brown ape, just minding his own business, eating some grass, when that big black blob comes along. It's like the Spider-Man villain, the Spider-Man alien black costume, Venom. And it, the big black blob, leaps onto the gorilla and turns the gorilla into a bigger, black, angrier gorilla. I guess this is Dreadface. But I think, Venomonkey would have been a better name. Later that night, Johnny started a campfire, and Ben comes out of the woods with these two trees. Entire trees for firewood. Like, they need that much wood? There's only two of them. They don't need a bonfire. Ben asks Johnny if he wants to talk things over, in reference to the Alicia situation. Johnny says he doesn't know what to say. He says his brain knows that this Alicia is different from the Alicia he was married to, but his heart still isn't used to it. Ben says, "As far as Alicia is concerned, she's still my girl, but all I see is your wife." Now, has Tom DeFalco not read the burn issues of the FF? Even before Alicia was replaced, her and Ben had broken up, and their relationship was over. Now, he's her girl again? And you know what else is over? That little campfire. Because a big boulder lands right on top of it, and Johnny and Ben jump back. They go out into the woods to see where that boulder came from. Ben finds that gorilla out there just tossing rocks in the air for no reason. The ape sees Ben and says, "Grr," and jumps right at him, and Ben punches him away. The ape rips out a tree and swings it at Ben, but Ben smashes the tree to bits. You see, there's nothing remotely sinister or deadly about this damn dirty ape. Ben says, "This is it, you dread-faced freak. I'm gonna blast you into the next time zone." Dreadfaced? Is that even a word? Dreadfaced? They wrestle a little bit and trade punches, but when Ben touches the ape, that black goo starts to come off, and it covers Ben's arm back in New York, where it's also nighttime, so I guess that wasn't the South Pacific. South Atlantic, I guess. They land on the roof of Four Freedoms Plaza, and they tell Alicia there's been a few changes while she was gone. You would think they would start by explaining what happened to the Baxter Building, but the subject doesn't come up. Alicia says she doesn't have cab fare to get home to her apartment, and then Reed says that she no longer has an apartment. Alicia asks, "She and Johnny lived here, didn't they?" "Actually, no. No, they didn't. If Tom DeFalco had read the previous issues, he would know that Johnny and Lijah had their own apartment. They didn't live at Four Freedoms Plaza. Ugh. They didn't live there. Of course, they have to come up with some way to explain that Johnny's marriage, and Reed says that they'll leave it up to the lawyers. Reed says also says that he'll take a quick nap before heading back to the island, and adds, "If I know the boys, they're having the time of their lives, roasting marshmallows and telling ghost stories." Marshmallows? Marshmallows? Why did Reed bring marshmallows on his space trip to rescue Alicia? How the hell do they have marshmallows? I doubt NASA ever sends anyone to space with marshmallows. Back on the island, Johnny's flying around and finds that Ben has been taken over by that venom creature. So the black and gray thing hurls a huge boulder at Johnny and misses. Johnny immediately realizes that Ben has been taken over by some creature, and Ben says, well, the creature says, "I am a conqueror of worlds, a slayer of vast civilizations." Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. He tosses sand up and at Johnny, which gets in his eyes, and then he hurls a tree trunk at Johnny, who gets the sand out of his eyes just in time to see the tree trunk coming, and he ducks out of the way. Johnny blasts Ben with a Nova Strength flame, and the creature leaps off of Ben and into the forest, leaving Ben a dazed and sore pile of orange rocks on the ground. As Johnny is attending to Ben, the creature comes back and leaps on top of Johnny and covers him in black goo. And this time, instead of looking like a black human torch, insert your own Michael B. Jordan joke here, the combination of the black blob and Johnny Storm looks like a completely different person, completely black, with a pale white face and evil red eyes. Ben approaches him, and the bad guy starts shooting flames at Ben. Ben slaps his hands together to create a wind that puts out the flames. So Ben grabs Dreadface and is about to punch him in the face, but the goo drips off of the face, and Ben punches Johnny in the face, and then his face covers back up again, and Dreadface says, "An interesting dilemma, isn't it? You cannot strike at me without fear of injuring your companion." I think interesting is too strong of a word. He starts flying around again, shooting flames. He chases Ben, who jumps off a waterfall into a river. He loses Dreadface for a moment and makes a dash for the spaceship. He gets there and he punches a hole in the gas tank. When Dreadface arrives, he tosses flames at Ben, and Ben jumps out of the way. The flames hit the ruptured gas tank, and boom, there's a big explosion. At that moment, Reed is flying overhead in the pogo plane, and he sees the huge explosion. Ben gets up and combs through the wreckage, looking for Johnny, who comes waltzing out of the flames, no longer possessed by that venom creature, much to Ben's relief. Reed lands and gets out. He asks the boys what they've been up to, and Johnny replies, "Just a little male bonding." Reed's probably thinking there hasn't been so many sparks between Ben and Johnny since they shared a bed back in the 60s. And that is the end of the issue, and not a very good one at all. Dreadface, as I said, is a terrible villain, way too derivative of Venom, who at this time in the early 1990s was uber popular. Dreadface never appears again in the pages of the Fantastic Four, but he does show up one more time in the comic called Fantastic Force. But really, that hardly counts, does it? So that's it for today. You can download other episodes of iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids, this podcast is over. I'm too much with myself. I won't be someone else. I'm too much with myself. I won't be someone else.
myself.